Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. We're back!
Yay!
We were lazy, we had the summer off, but now we're back. And as you can hear, I am joined in the studio today by my wonderful, gorgeous co-host, the wonderful Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our guest today, the first one for the last quarter of the year, is the wonderful Bruce Kidd from Oasis.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we are really pumped, aren't we? We had the whole summer off.
Did you? No, you did some work.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, from the radio show.
From the radio, show.
Well, business still goes on. Yeah. But Bruce and I were actually discussing this before we came on air. And actually, we want you listeners out there to join in. So if there is anybody out there, are you there? Is anybody there? Give us a tweet today and let us know how your August was. How was your summer? Have you been away? Have you been taking it easy? Is work still being really busy? Let us know what your summer has been like. So as always, you can tweet us at Bunker Extra with an X, with the hashtag BeExtraBeBunker, and let us know what's been going on. So, Gemma, how was your summer?
So my summer was fairly quiet, actually. Usually August is our busiest time of year for no rhyme or reason, and this year it wasn't. It was a bit of a shock until the 29th of August, at which stage the phones wouldn't stop ringing. So I gather everybody was just on holiday. But I did have some wonderful downtime with my daughter. We did a bit of a staycation this year. It didn't go away because I thought it was going to be busy.
Exactly. And next year you'd plan to go away and you won't be busy.
Exactly.
So, and you will be busy. So.
But yeah, we had some lovely, we stayed largely in Kent and London. And actually, Kent is a beautiful place. And I think when we're rushing around, we see things differently as to when we're enjoying ourselves and taking. We had a leisurely punt on the River Stour. I've never done that.
No, yeah. That looked awesome.
Yeah, I've never
really
done
the look of that.
I was like, oh, let's actually be tourists in, like, on our doorstep kind of thing. So that was how my summer was, really.
But
come back fighting fit. I've really come back with a brand new gusto. And watch out, world.
Watch out, world.
Gemma's back.
I'm back. But you were saying, Bruce, as well, wasn't you? This year was
for us, it's totally
quite
the opposite.
Yeah.
For us, we tend to go quiet around 2.5 months' time, leading up to the end of August. And then September, when everyone's back at school, things tend to go again. But this year, it's just been relentless. We've not been able to catch up. We're working behind. Everybody is working at 100%, just trying to catch up. And I think it probably is because we've had so many changes this year. So the MTD came in April. That had a real effect on most businesses that we deal with. That kind of goes for 3, 4, 5 months into the time because everybody's VAT periods are different. And then now we're currently working relentlessly on the VAT changes for the construction industry. Mm. So again,
it's always something to keep you
never,
busy.
At this stage this year for us, it's been absolutely relentless. I'm not complaining, but we are used to having a quieter time. Then you got to catch up and, everybody takes some holiday and it's just not been able to.
You start to rely on it, don't you? You then have trends and you think, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen here. But interestingly, for us this year has been completely upside down anyway, because usually January is like dead. You have like a month to kind of get back into yourselves after Christmas. But this year, on the 3rd of January, and it didn't stop until about June, we were just like, oh, my goodness, where is all this work coming from?
Yeah.
So, just as a show, you can't plan.
Exactly. It's a pull again. You're right. There's no point in the planning. But that's the thing. You can't predict, I guess. You have to have an idea in mind going on the previous years to guide you, but then just have that flexibility that if that actually doesn't happen, that you're prepared with whatever's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I did my mindset was a lot of people trying to contact people and get a hold of people to talk business. You couldn't get a hold of people. And it wasn't because it was on holiday. It's just everyone had literally, it's almost like summer holidays only really means anything to parents because of obviously having kids off school. And ideally, it should be warm. We had one odd day. But I think that's where the summer holiday mindset comes from. So then and even people that don't have kids, although everyone's still working generally, their mindset just goes into slow down.
Well, I mean, I think partially it's because it is so much nicer, and so you've got the longer days, You know, sit in your garden in the evenings if you're partial like me to a glass or two. You know, sit in the garden.
Bottle of two.
I was trying to be polite for the radio. I was trying to paint a different picture. But, you know, it is that kind of thing. There's a lot more to do outdoors. And so I think we kind of just feel as though we should make the most of it, because we haven't quite adjusted to the fact that we get better weather than we used to years ago. Yeah. So the moment we get a bit of better weather, we think, oh my, we've got to go out, we've got to have barbecues, we've got to enjoy it, we've just got to make the most of it.
You have to make the most of the good weather when it happens, yeah.
I know some companies, some of my clients, in fact, what they do is they have longer hours in the winter and shorter hours in the summer, so they finish at 4.
That's a really good idea.
Or some of them start a bit early, they do 8 till 4 in the summer and 9 till 5 in the winter, just so people can feel as though they're getting to enjoy some of the summer, really.
Yeah, I like that flexibility.
Yeah, next year I'm going with the European method. Close down for August.
Yeah.
Then you haven't got to stress about anything, about getting the work done. That August, I don't work. That's it.
No. If you plan it that way, then that's going
to But that's the thing. If you're prepared for that and if your work allows you to do that type of thing, then why not? Take the whole of August off.
My work doesn't allow me to do that kind of thing, but, you know.
No, but then when you get to a point where you've got a bigger team of staff working for you, they'll carry keeping the business going and you have the month off.
Yeah.
There we go. I've got it all sorted for you, Gemma. You're all planned. ready for when your business grows.
Yeah.
But I think it is funny, is a lot of people I speak to are just like, it's been really quiet, but I think it's good to have that slow down time, because again, Bruce and I were talking off air and we was just saying it's a good time also to, if you're quieter, people panic when they're quiet, especially when it's quiet. I mean, although you've been going 15 years now, but you'd probably still get a bit panicky when it gets a bit quiet. But if you know that you've got, rather than panicking in that time, you can work on the business, because sometimes you get so busy working in the business, you forget that you obviously have to keep generating the future work coming in. So you have to find time to work on the business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for so many years, we had that specific lull over the summer where it went quiet. So you do tend to consistently then plan for that to happen. Mm. And then around 3 years ago, when it started changing, you kind of planned for it. And then now we don't have a quiet time anymore. So it's kind of taken away that opportunity that you have to spend some time on your business. Now you have to make more time
to
do that, which is, you know, it's not a bad thing that you know, it does put some extra stresses on you when you are so used to having a quiet time where you can do stuff in and suddenly it doesn't happen anymore. It's like, oh gosh, what do I do with, you know, how do I manage
how
all
do
the
I
things?
Manage?
Yeah. All the things I wanted to do.
But it's a good
grows.
Yeah, but it's a good position
it's
to
great.
Be in.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Oh, I'm too busy. My business is working too well, which is great. We've had some tweets. Hello back to, well, there is a couple of listeners out there. We have the lovely Barry and John, maybe just Barry, from Me Now, saying, welcome back, Amanda, from all the team here at Me Now. August was so busy. We added new charities to our affiliate program and extended it to schools last week. Fantastic. And they've got their blog up. So if you follow at Me Now Co on the Twitter, and there's their latest blog, they're spreading out. So Barry has been on the show several times, sharing with us the Me Now app, which is a fantastic help for businesses. So go and check that out. And we do have one from one of our other co-hosts, Richard Bell, who says, good to have you back. Have a great show. We're all listening back at the 10 Intelligence as we continue to prepare for Tech Expo in a couple of weeks. Please stop saying that in a couple of weeks.
It is a couple of
Shut
weeks.
Shut up.
I know.
Just a few weeks.
No, excuse me. It's exactly 3 weeks.
There we go.
That's fine.
I know.
If I could make it 3 months, that'd be even better. But hey ho.
We've got one from Diamond Circle Weddings. So they say, hello, Bunker Extra. Amanda, could we please have a shout out? Yes, you may. Polly and me are exhibiting at Howfield Manor Wedding Fair this Sunday, 10:30 till 2:30. If you enter our prize draw, you have the chance to win free hire of fantastic 5-foot love letters. I think they mean love, as in the letters love, not love letters.
Yeah.
Okay, depending on the love letters.
Especially not if they're 5 foot.
Taller than me.
But I might just get those to put in the front garden all the time. Those big love. I'm in love. No, they're brilliant. So go and check them out. And if you're looking to get married, if anybody's got any ideas about getting married, everyone's thought about it. And no subtle hints come in there. It's just scary. Bruce is already married. Go and check out, go and meet the guys at Diamond Circle weddings. The lovely Tabitha Beasley, the marketing assistant, a wonderful summer with family and friends. Back to school blues now. Yeah, I'm feeling that too. Now kicking in, but excited to grab the ball by the horns and get stuck into work. Yeah. You know what I've discovered is that transition. So parents generally approaching, well, if you're me and Gemma, approaching summer holidays go, oh my God, what we've got to do? This year we're going to be organised, we're going to be planned, we've got all this sorted out, we're going to, you know, you get all into like, right, we've got to be organised. By the sort of the third day of summer holidays, that's all gone out the window and you're winging it as yep. you go along. And of course, then as we approach the end of the summer holidays, we're like, we don't want it to end. Yeah, so I'm quite enjoying this. Right. I'm quite happy with this. And so then you get back into work and you're a bit like, oh, now you've got to go back to routine, new routines, new school, new stuff. And it's just like, takes a little while to get that back in, doesn't
no,
it?
No, I'm enjoying the routine.
Are you?
I thoroughly enjoyed the summer off with Kimora and Bjorn. Bjorn's there all the time. Bjorn's there all the time. But I thoroughly enjoyed that. I think as your children get older, I've just had a change of mindset that like you get about 8 summers before your kids no longer care about you and they're all about their friends.
They disappear for summer.
So he's kind of been, I'm kind of like, let's just enjoy it. But actually, she went back to school happy and I was like, right, routine, great. I don't have to concern myself about, because it's just a different headspace, isn't it? Thinking about what they've got to do and what you've got to do and all these different things. So yeah. I'm like, no, day one, I was like, right, here goes.
It just takes me a couple of days to get into that routine. Yeah. And we've obviously establishing a new routine now since we've got an additional member to the family. She's got a horse. So we've now got to put that into the equation. So once I've got into my little routine with the school run and the horse and work and stuff, I'll be fine. Okay. Give me a month and I'll be all right.
And then it'll be Christmas. And then it'll be Christmas.
No, October half term first. We've got 6 weeks to a half term, have we?
Yeah, five. So,
it's only five.
Yeah. God, I'm full of
well, I must say, somebody did put on Facebook this morning a post telling us there is only 112
days until. Don't you dare. That's it. I resign. I'm off. Constructive dismissal. I can't bear it anymore. I'm going to mention the C word.
Well, I'm just saying. I did say to this person that I'm going to unfriend them now. They're going to keep doing that. You know, I get excited, but I do at least leave it till like end of October before I
please,
start doing it.
Please do.
That's all right. So end of October.
We have had a tweet from Fruit Bowl Media. Hi, Bunker Extra, Amanda and Gemma. Shout out, please. Proud to sponsor an exhibit at Tech Expo. Come and meet us on stand B12, fruitbowlmedia.com. And just so you know, Fruit Bowl Media, because I know Bird asks this at every show, who is on stand B13? And I was just about to tell you, and I can't remember.
Oh.
I think it's Events Case. I think Events Case on stands at B13. I'll double check and tweet you on Tuesday to let you know who's in the next stand. But we do have a few stands left. So if you're a tech business out there who still hasn't booked on to join us at Tech Expo, why?
Why not?
What's wrong with them? Bruce is going to be there. We're going to be there. Check out techexpouk.com. But as I say, it's been really difficult trying to get hold of people over the summer holidays and everything. So it's just, getting back into the routine. I was looking forward to the routine. So it just takes me time to adjust. Mm. And I was like, right, okay, start first morning. Okay, first morning back at school is Wednesday. So, okay, ready, right. Up early, did a bit of work, got Lucy out, ready for school. Fine. Lucy's got this horrible infected mosquito bite on her arm where her arm's like swollen twice the size. Obviously, we had to deal with that. Went to do the school run, fine. Pee down with rain.
Can I tell you where you're going wrong with this whole thing that you've got going on?
Yeah, getting up early and working.
That's the problem. Okay, all right. That's the problem. All right. All these 5 a.m.ers that say, you know, entrepreneur. Are you one of those, Bruce?
I unfortunately am, yeah.
Is that natural or do you make yourself do that?
No, I my body is so conditioned I kind of start waking up around 4:30 in the morning, although my alarm would go off an hour later, but I'm always awake by the time it goes off.
What time do you go to bed?
I don't know, 10:30, 11-ish.
That's the time I go to bed. I still can't get up.
I've had to make myself sleep. I'm a 4-hour a night person, so I've actually had to make myself sleep more for my general well-being.
Wow. No, I can't say I have that problem.
at all. So I have just recently, though, I have developed that problem. So whereas I had to make myself get up and I was getting into my 6:30 routine is fine. But very recently, I can't sleep at all. So last two mornings, 5:30, and I'm like, I might as well just get up and do some work. So my body's now, unfortunately, getting conditioned at 5:30. And I don't particularly want it to get conditioned at 5:30.
The problem comes a Saturday or a Sunday morning. Exactly. Yeah. Your body goes, I'm awake.
Yeah, and you're like,
it's like, no.
Book off, well, I want to go back to sleep.
Apparently the 5 a.m. is more successful. I mean, I beg to differ. So.
I don't know about that.
But that's what they say. They have more time in the day. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us
yeah.
what you think.
Yeah. Just what do you think? What time do you normally get up in the morning? What's a good normal time for you to get up? We have also had a tweet from Fruitworks Co-working for a shout out. They are expanding. They're going to have more hot desks, thick desks and small offices in their Canterbury co-working space. So fruitwork.co. Follow them on Twitter and find out what's going on with that. But if you're in or around Canterbury and you're looking for a hot desk in or office space, beautiful place, beautiful building and great facilities there. So definitely worth having a look at. Let's have a quick talk about Tech Expo, because obviously that is the next big event for Vexio coming up. And it's very exciting. I can't tell you, I mean, although it has been sort of quieter, there's so many more developments. We've got so many more speakers and roundtables. And I was going to keep it very limited to how much content we have, because obviously you don't want to overdo it. But everyone keeps on coming to me with really good ideas. And I'm like... Oh, yeah, let's do that. We've got to squeeze you in. So I have squeezed a few more bits in. So a rundown. Tech Expo is on the 26th of September, 3 weeks from now, at the Kent Event Centre from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. And it's an exhibition and seminar. So it's a niche exhibition. It's not a huge exhibition. There's not going to be hundreds of stands. We're going to have a maximum of 50 to 60 exhibitors who are all industry experts that supply some sort of tech-based solution to business owners, so be it software, CRM systems, online accountancy, digital marketing, social media, etc., etc. They're our exhibitors, they're our experts, and we have got 5 keynote seminars. Our headliner is Microsoft. Brian Sutton from Microsoft is joining us, and he's going to be sharing with us about Microsoft and what's going on, and he's got some nifty technology that he's bringing with him, so we're going to see that. We also have got our very own Richard Bell of Ten Intelligence Cybersecurity, and he's talking about breach, how to deal with, you know, we all know we should be aware of cybersecurity and things happening and attacks happening. But it's very often we see in the news, or, you know, Facebook's been hacked or this has been hacked and what's happened. So he's actually going to be looking at how we deal with a breach and how you should address the media afterwards. You know, say sorry it's happened and explain what's happened. So that's going to be really interesting. We've got William Charlesworth from Child and Child, looking at technology, the law of technology, be intellectual property, software law and all that type of thing. So that's going to be great. We have got this one I'm really looking forward to, Bill Burton from Dale Carnegie, and he's going to be talking at staying human in a digital world. So, you know, everyone is very fearful that digital and technology is taking over the world, but there still has to remain a human contact in it, an element of it. So that's going to be another one. And then we have, again, our very own Ben Abbott, who's a co-organiser of Tech Expo, who's going to talk about voice. Now, everybody's very aware about voice. You know, most of us got an Alexa or a Google, but how do we utilise that with our business? How do you bring that into your marketing strategy? So he's going to be looking at that. So there are 5 keynote seminars. We then have 4 workshops. So we have Zoe Cairns from ZC Social Media, who's going to be looking at creating your social media content strategy. We have Hacks, Mike Hacker, otherwise known as Hacks, from Prisma Broadcast, who's going to be looking at video and how you're going to capture and produce good quality video for your marketing. We have the wonderful Aaron Taylor from 6-2, looking at websites. Stop the sales pitch and start the conversation. You always say the website is your window, but you shouldn't sell directly from it now. You should start those conversations, get people asking questions. And we have a new addition to the lineup is Andy Lambert from Content Cow. And Content Cow, he's going to be talking about Content Cow and media scheduling, which is great. So there are workshops. We have a panel discussion. Everyone's going to be so busy all day. No one's going to have time to do anything. Panel discussion, and the expert panel headed by David Shaw. And they're all going to be talking about the future of technology. So at the exhibition, we're going to be talking about and looking at what currently is out there, what's going on, but also going to be discussing the future of technology. Is it going to make our lives easier, or is it going to give us a bigger headache? And looking at different subjects to that. And we've got a great panel lineup to join in. We've got Lucy Hall from Avisio. We have Chris Wilmot from Pentascape. We have forgive me, we've got three additional women and I can't remember their full names and their businesses. We've got Kerry Sheehan, we have Sarah Mulcair and Pam Obasa, three experts in their field. So that's the panel discussion. And then we've got four round tables. So it seems a lot when I'm talking about it. It's like, I'm going, yeah, let's do that. So with the round tables, we have got Buckland Media, who are one of our main sponsors, who are going to be looking at print digital, how you can incorporate both print and digital in your marketing. We've got Events Case, who are going to be talking about gamification and how you include that in your promoting your business. We've got Orbital, are a company who deal with how to benefit from the efficiencies of VoIP phone services. And David Shaw is going to do one, funnily enough, on GDPR. Now, this is something we haven't heard of for a long time, but it's something that is still there. Yeah. And so many people still aren't compliant. And he's going to be covering, you know, the areas that you do need to be compliant. So that's the four round tables. Plus, over lunchtime, we have a Kent Digital Meetup networking over lunch. So we've got a bit of networking going on. Plus, we're going to say we've got the exhibitors for you to meet. Bruce is one of our exhibitors with Oasis, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the pub quiz in action. In action. Tell us a bit about the pub quiz.
So the pub quiz we've came up with is, it is a pub quiz, but it's all based around what we do as a software company. And we look at certain areas that we cover, and it really is just kind of educating people at the same time as doing something fun. So we have this pub quiz created. We'll run every hour or so and just have as many people kind of get involved with it during the day. It's a bit of fun. Yeah. There's really no competition in it, but it is designed to kind of show off what you know about your business system. So if I tackle, for example, the subject of CRM in one of the quizzes, then the point that comes out at the end, if you knew a CRM system and you know what you're doing around it, you'll score quite highly. And if you don't, you'll get lower. So although it is a bit of fun, there is also an indication of where you are in the scale of what you know about what we do or what technology is available for the business.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid you then because I'm just, I'm going to avoid that stand because I'm going to like, right, low, down, right down there.
I'm sure not. When we talk about events, for example, I think...
Yeah, be right, yeah, I can pull myself back. But it's, you know, we're really looking forward. It's going to be really fun, interactive, and really relaxed. So I say it's not going to be an exhibition like anybody's known. It's not one of those big trade shows where you're wandering around. It's, you know, everybody's going to be talking and interacting with each other, and it's about starting this conversations with the business owners that really don't understand what technology is out there. And there's nothing wrong with not understanding it because, you know, all of us struggle and want to throw our computers out of the window pretty much every day because it's done something or other, but because we don't understand it. And there's so much technology that just can help us run our businesses.
I think the thing is ever evolving as well. That's the
exactly.
issue, isn't it? It's when the moment you think you know something,
that changes so quickly, yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Constantly changing.
So it's amazing. So that is the 26th of September. It is just a couple of weeks ago. So it's free to attend. You can come. You can come all day. You can come for the morning. You can afternoon. If you go to the website techexpouk.com, the full seminar program is up. All the speakers are up. Everything that's going on. I didn't realise I was going through the list of everything we've got going on. It's like we've got a lot of content there. So there's lots for people to learn, you know, full day out. It's going to be great. So join us at that. So excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited now.
Okay.
I am. We're going to have a quick musical break because I need to have a quick drink. And then when we come back, we're going to speak more with Bruce and find out more about Oasis. Yes, Gemma, I'm officially announcing summer is over.
I don't want it to be.
I don't want it to be either. But it's blooming cold out there.
But you know what happened to the times when we used to get those Indian summers that would last till October?
I know.
You know.
I was talking about Indian summer yesterday. I've not heard about an Indian summer this year. It's a bit disappointing.
No. But we did have like that heat wave where we literally couldn't stand it for about 3 days or something. So
yes,
we're British. We're never happy when it's sunny. We're too hot. Oh my god, it's too hot. And when we're cold, you know.
I deliberately didn't complain about the heat that time because I thought it's not going to go down well.
I know, but can't we just have it like just perfect? That's all we want.
Yeah,
asking for much. Just have it perfect.
Yeah, true.
It's just it's not. We don't like this weather. We want a nice even temperature. All year round would be lovely.
Yeah, not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah, mid-20s.
Yeah.
A little bit of rain is fine occasionally because we need a bit of that.
But
yeah,
not all the time.
But anyway, the weather is what the weather is. And at the end of the day, we just have to get on with it. We can't do anything else. So, so anyway, we're going to talk to you now, Bruce.
No problem.
Because we want to find out more about. Is it Oasis Systems?
Yeah, actually, no. We're called Operational Accounting Systems.
Yeah,
Oasis
too much of a mouthful.
Is our short name. Yeah. And that's kind of where when the company was started, they got the short name for the email systems and for the website. And we now refer to ourselves, and it's a legal trading name, as Oasis.
Oh, so, brilliant.
Yeah.
And you said it was 10 years ago?
Nope. The company started 15? On the 4th of February in the year 2000. Which was at that time a management buyout, I believe, from another company where they bought the Pegasus database. The company wanted to get rid of it. Mm. And some of the workers or the people working there bought the base and started Operational Accounting Systems as a partnership. Mm. I only came to the UK in 2001. And I only joined Oasis in 2005, I believe, on the 6th of June. And I've been there ever since. I was really just a support technician when I started.
Yeah.
Then supporting, because my background is accounts. Mm. I've got a BCom accounts from South African University. So I started in the accounts field supporting the software that we sold. And I think probably around 2010, the company wasn't performing as it should. Mm. And I come from an auditing background, audited it, found out some discrepancies. And in the process, with two of my colleagues and one of the existing owners, we took over the company. And that's where I'm now.
What was that like then, taking over a company that is currently existing, where you've been an employee? How was that?
It was difficult. Mm. It wasn't the plan. I actually resigned at that point in time and started my own company separate, to which I was going to do some work. But one of the existing owners didn't really want to let me go, and we came up with a plan on how we could effectively come into the company, because everybody who have been working there at that point in time have been there for 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
So it was no good kind of breaking up a team that absolutely works together well. And that's only the best of the company at heart, although we were all just working there. Mm. So it was difficult with times. It was difficult because we had to get rid of people.
Yeah.
And we had to get rid of one of the owners because of what has happened. And we took over a company that was very much in the red. Mm. So it was difficult, very difficult times for us. We, you know, for like 4 years, I believe, we only worked with the four people who owned the company, doing absolutely everything from the sales to the marketing to the accounts, to the implementations, the installation, the development, everything.
So it's like building it up from scratch, I suppose.
That's what
again,
we did. And that's, you know, I can genuinely say now that 5 years or say 8 to 9 years later, crikey, 9 years later, we've gone from strength to strength. We are now recruiting our seventh person. Mm. And although we are not a fast growing company, we are steadily growing. You know, and
which sometimes is better.
Well, you know, it's organic growth.
I'm driving an organic growth. Mm. I'm not a kind of salesperson that's pushy. I don't do hundreds of sales a year. I just don't operate that way. I'd rather build a relationship with someone and we have a business that we can do together for 10 or 20 years, which is exactly where we're at with most of our customers. The ones we add, or the ones I add, just stay with us.
Yeah.
You know, they don't tend to leave. Mm. And I suppose it's just a question of the dedication and the knowledge we have in the field that we've chosen. We don't do much more than Pegasus software, which we specialize in. Mm. So we don't sell computers and hardware and all the other bits that go for it, because it would take away from what we are doing for our customers. Mm. So we solely have software that we sell and implement for our customers.
And I love that, being someone that's a specialist in one area myself, because I think... And that's not to say people that are doing lots of things aren't doing it well,
no,
but there's something about just doing that one thing and doing it well.
Absolutely. Yeah. The thing is, once you are a specialist in an area, you tend to get those clients that need specialists and not the clients who need a generalist.
Yeah.
Because all the clients we have on our books have quite specific needs that we were able to solve through the software we supply.
Yeah.
So it's not just out of the box, here you go, carry on, Sage 50 kind of idea. Mm. You know, we really work with our customers. We look at the processes. We look where we can save time, where we can save money, where we can integrate areas. How can we, you know, if you've got 1,000 people on the books and you do timesheets and you have to implement everyone 2 minutes, for example, you know, that's 2,000 minutes.
Yeah.
You could import that in 5 seconds.
That
is the kind of thing we kind of look at for companies.
And what I loved you said as well, because I went to a workshop a few months ago when people were still having events before the summer broke up. And they were talking about what it is that is your selling point. And one of the things that people forget to say is, I've had a client for 10 years or 20 years. I think that speaks volumes, because we're in the day and age where you can just walk, you can go elsewhere. So the fact that you're saying you've got clients that have stayed with you for 10 years, even through the takeover, that just, you know, something to shout about.
The biggest selling point for me is when I run an event, and we do a lot of events. When I run an event, I have several clients or customers that would stand up in front of my audience and tell us. I don't mean them to do that, but we've done such good work for them, and we've made such a major impact in their businesses that they absolutely have no problem to stand up and go, Oasis has helped us to increase our productivity by 200%, or Oasis has saved us a week worth of time every week.
You know,
that kind of stuff. So that really is powerful if you can get to that level with some of your clients. Often some resellers, not just Pegasus, but other people who resell software, would never bring a prospect and a customer together in one room. I have no problem doing that.
Well, I have no problem with that either.
Why wouldn't you do that? Yeah, because if your client base can sell you to people who's not on your, you know, who better than an existing person to talk about you?
Exactly. It's still got to be the most powerful marketing, isn't it? Referral
Without
marketing.
Without a doubt. Our best customers come from referral.
Absolutely.
You can't get away from that, because you're already halfway there. They're passed by someone who trusts you. So you're already halfway there. Yeah. So I like to work on referral business. I like to ask my customers for referral because they don't have a problem doing that if they can.
So the listener's probably wondering, because we've spoken about the fact that you sell this Pegasus software.
That's it.
And it's an accounting software of sorts.
It's what is it?
You're reading my mind today.
What is it?
I'm going to sit here. You two carry on. I'm out of a job. But yeah, do explain to us what Pegasus is.
There's a software, a whole load of different software products within the Pegasus portfolio. So you will get something called Pegasus Opera 3, which is an ERP system. Mm-hmm. So that would manage your accounts. It would manage your back office. It would manage your supply chain. Mm-hmm. Things like a service and help desk management system, so you can take help desk calls from your client base, resolve them, add time, charge per hour, that kind of stuff, all included with a CRM system in one system. Then we've got a separate system called Pegasus CIS, which covers the construction industry software, and that really is all built around construction and what they do and how they have to report to HMRC on a monthly basis with specific rules and regulations and things like reverse charge VAT coming in now recently. Then I'm also partnered with some smaller software companies that we deal with that links to our Pegasus products, something like EasyStock, which is an inventory management system, and something that we have just taken on. I'm launching my partnership with them, and that is a bit of software that actually helps you manage your stock. So if you've got a large stock holding, what this does is really clever stuff. It looks at your stock movements you've had over the last 3-4 years. It then makes predictions on what you should be forecasting for the next year, and it then allows you to make and manage your processing of your purchase ordering through that system, so you don't overstock effectively your stock, and you don't have dead money sitting
either. Yeah, and you don't understock, because you know exactly what you
absolutely
have.
So you don't use you are able to sell, and it's absolutely, I'm so excited about that bit of kit, because it will revolutionize how people with a lot of stock on their books work. And the way these guys do their system, they prove your ROI based on your stock holding. You know, so a lot of people don't particularly find their stocking side easy. When you look at seasonal trends and all that kind of stuff, you know, to have to manually work that up, very difficult. The algorithms in that is so spot on with how it works that out for you. So that's the other bit of software. And then the other software we link.
No, before we move on to that, because you've passed me a flyer.
Watch out.
Because, you know, we can talk about events. On Thursday, the 10th of October, you've got your launch event.
I do.
Of the Easy Stock. That's going to be at the Curious Brewery.
It certainly is.
So it includes a stock seminar, live demos and free food.
Absolutely.
And guest Gemma's talks. There.
Guest talks and beer tasting.
Absolutely.
So
it's a brewery.
It's a brewery. So if you want to find out more about that, assuming, is it going to be on your website?
It certainly is on my website. It's all over social media channels as well. So you'll find it on our website.
And it's free. So that's the 10th of October, which is not that far away.
No.
Oh, so, stop saying that. Things every day is the same length of time. It's plenty of time. Plenty of time.
I want to come back a little bit, Bruce, because
that's fine.
You gave a little bit of hosting. I know. Go on, off you go. Carry on. I'm going to have a break.
Have had the summer off. I want to come back a little bit because I think, you know, you really explained that the whole ERP system. Some people don't know what an ERP system is. So what you're saying is this system, is it a cloud software or is it a fixed piece of software?
It could be. It depends on how you want to manage it. That's totally flexible. Yeah. So some businesses still have traditional server in the building where they put the software on and it goes around the machines in the office, and that's fine. Mm. Other clients like we, for example, as a company, I don't have a server in the office, but I host, I have a rented server somewhere in a bunker somewhere where all my stuff sits on. I just need the internet to connect and I can work my software like that. But Pegasus also supplies what they call the Pegasus Business Cloud. So they do put their product into the cloud and it's a portal you can log on to. Yeah. So it's quite flexible. Whichever way you want the deployment to work for you, we will allow that to happen.
So that's quite handy to know, right? Because obviously, absolutely, you know, businesses work different ways and what you're not trying to do is change them. No. You're just trying to work with them.
Learned that you can't actually push a business into a corner because they will always jump over you and go to the next person who can help them, you know, so it just doesn't work. So the flexibility is totally needed to be able to implement the way you want to or to change your implementation a year down the line. You know, you might a year down the line decide, I'm going to dish all my servers. I really don't need all this hardware. I'm just going to go have a rented space somewhere. I don't need all the hardware. That's fine. We can move that then to the cloud and you can still access your software as if you had a server.
So you're saying it does a variety of things. It does your accounting style things. So like your bookkeeping and that kind of thing. And it does you're saying customer desk. So explain that bit.
So customer service and help desk management. So if you run any service contracts, for example, with clients, if you have any equipment on site with clients, if you're a brewery that has kegs, for example, online, then what the service and help desk management system allows you to do is to take help desk calls from your customer base based around either the equipment that they have on site or the services you provide for them. So if you imagine me as a software company, I've, let's say, 200 clients on my book. They call us on a daily basis to have if they have issues with software, with this, with that. We log those calls on our system. We record the time we spent against that call on the system, and we then charge according to the time we spent, according to a rate we've agreed with the customer in advance. And that's how we do.
Does that do that automatically by the moment the phone call comes through? Does that automatically do it, or do you have to put
when the phone call comes through, you have to find who you're talking with, and you have to manually record what you're talking. Yeah. It's not going to do that part for you. But then once it's recorded and once you've put the time you've spent on the call, then the rest is automatic. So someone in accounts then would say, I'm going to do workshop billing on a Friday. They'll bring up all the worksheets that's been input. They run it through the process. All those are invoiced immediately, goes out to the customers, and we'll expect the money, you know, whenever the terms are due based on whoever was receiving that. And that's just a very simple
process. That's really good, but it's simple but effective in that as a customer, if you send me a bill for 2 hours, I'm going to want to know how we got to that 2 hours.
Absolutely.
We're quite unique.
One of the very unique things that Oasis does for supporting our customers is I do a prepaid support contract, which you don't find very often with very many software suppliers. The prepaid support contract allows our customers who really know what they are doing on the software to only call at the times when they need to, but therefore, because they've got a prepaid bunch of time, it eats away at that time. Mm. Instead of having a traditional support contract where you pay X amount per annum, and whenever you call, the software company goes, oh, that's a problem that sits outside the contract. I'm going to charge you £90 an hour. Mm. So we don't tend to do that kind of contract. So the prepaid one, you buy an X amount of time, you eat away at the time. Every month you get a statement to say, started with 5 hours, three people called. That were the issues they called about. We're left with 4 hours and 15 minutes. But what it allows us to do is be really proactive with our customers, because on a monthly basis, we analyze the issues they call about, and then we can go to them and go, okay, this month you called about the same thing four times. Perhaps we can take 20 minutes and educate the person so we don't have that going forward.
Brilliant.
So we use it we analyze and educate as we go along, because we're really trying to save our customers money on support. I know it's a stupid thing to say,
but
it is, because, you know, we don't like paying for support that's not needed. You don't like that. No one does. So we kind of put that into how we deal with our customers. Consequently, they use the support more because they have a flexibility. They're more in control of the time they bought. So they don't have a problem.
And they're not worrying that, oh, I'm going to pick up the phone and then there's going to be a bill.
Absolutely, correct. Yeah, so.
This is just a classic example of how technology can make your business run more effectively and efficiently. Mm. And that's the thing. Do you still have issues with people understanding how it can help them?
Especially the older kind of companies or I don't want to say older kind of people working there, because that's not a fair assessment, but that is normally the case. The older generation don't like change in business.
Yeah.
So when you come to them and you go, this kind of software kit, okay, it's going to make you have to change a little bit how you work.
Mm.
However, it would save you 2 hours or 2 days a week in inputting your data. They don't trust that. They don't trust the fact that you are selling that to them. And I think, you know, sometimes when they bite the bullet and go, okay, I'll do this, and it works out for them really well, they go, oh, well, I like this. Yeah. I like this change. It's saving me time. I can do this. I can do that.
Exactly.
But getting to that point sometimes I find extremely difficult, very difficult. I don't have to – I must be honest. I don't have this problem with the more non-traditional, younger kind of generation of people. They're up for change. They want stuff on mobile phones. In actual fact, I think if it's not for them – we wouldn't have been driven into this mobile digital area, because that is how they operate their life. They operate a life
instant.
On a mobile.
Yeah.
It's instant. You know, they don't want to wait. That's why I call it the Amazon effect. No one wants to wait. You want to order something online now and you want it 2 hours.
Yeah.
In 2 hours.
See,
you want it.
And I believe they should start reversing that a little bit, because nobody has any patience.
No.
So you need to know.
I totally agree.
You know what? It's good that we've got instantness to make our life easier. But I think sometimes I just know we need to slow down and we need to have patience, because the younger generations have no patience.
I know.
You know, it's, oh my God, I've got no Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. How can I do this?
Yeah.
And it's
the whole world goes when they don't have my daughter. My daughter's whole world tumbles to pieces when she gets to the home and I've switched the Wi-Fi off.
Yeah. I love
you
that.
Switch it off.
Switch it off, yeah. Switch it off when it's bedtime and that kind of stuff. Because, you know, kids are, love them to bits, and it's my own kids, but they are the sneakiest little things. You know, they are so
How do they
sneaky.
Learn that? I want to know that. Kids are born sneaky.
Well, I think they get it from their parents.
I was going to whisper it. They get it from their parents.
Probably so. Yeah.
But it's good to know and understand that technology is out there to make running a business easier and
more efficient. I mean, someone's 200% more productive. Sounds amazing.
Can you imagine that? But the thing that I find the most, and we had a seminar on Wednesday where we were bringing together a lot of companies within the construction industry. And what really, really surprises me still to this day is how many businesses run areas of their business on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I find it almost alarming, because
I like spreadsheets.
I like a spreadsheet, don't get me wrong. But to rely on a spreadsheet to run your business, it can get corrupted. Mm. You know, one person is in it, the next one to go in, it's update, no one, it's a nightmare. Mm. You can't have shared data. And that's, I don't always understand. So I'm up against that a lot. I find that very many times when I speak to software companies, or I'll still do this on Excel, or still produce my invoices on Excel. And I was like, ooh.
That's a lot of time.
But it does happen.
But what would your answer be? Because I know one of it is people understanding technology.
Yeah.
But also one of it is people scared of the cost of the technology and bringing that on board. So what would you say to somebody if they just said, but I don't think I can afford it?
I think that is something we come up all the time, but we can find a ways around affordability. When you start looking at the impact that the software is going to have on the business, you can start looking at an ROI and you can start looking at time savings and how that affects the business from a productivity and a salary point of view that people get paid. So that way you can, you know, you can look at it like that. We also offer often 0% kind of finance deals through finance companies that I deal with. And it's not always an ideal way of going. However, it is a way of dealing and buying software that would allow you to benefit on your tax at the end, you know. So there is ways of saying I have an outlay and I don't have to have a capital outlay. I can go via finance.
Mm.
Also, Pegasus at this point in time and a lot of software companies allows some kind of subscription models. So, yes, you might not have the outlay of the capital for the software, but you can subscribe to it for a minimal amount on a monthly basis. And therefore, you don't have this massive capital outlay. You know exactly what your fees are going to be for the next 3 years. And we can plan around that. So there are ways. But there's if ways. You really don't have money, then, you know, it doesn't matter if it costs 50 quid or 5,000. Yeah, it's not going to make a difference.
Exactly. And to be fair, then if your business isn't having any money, you're in trouble anyway, aren't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think one of the major things for me when it comes to the money side is to prove to a company the major difference it's going to make in how they work.
Exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? It's all about time efficiency.
Yes.
And it's not how much money it's going to earn you, it's how much money it's going to save you. Because of the time you're not having to spend doing it manually.
The productivity could increase. The fact that you can suddenly look at real issues rather than try to catch up putting data in or getting data right, that kind of stuff. So it makes a major difference to companies. And that's kind of how I approach it the first time when they start going, it's too expensive. Sometimes it is too expensive. And I have a cheaper product that I then will try and sell to people.
More cost effective. We like the more cost effective.
Yeah, more cost effective.
No, it's cheap stuff.
Yeah, we don't do anything cheap, but it's a more cost effective compared to what Pegasus product would cost. But it will still manage, you know, small businesses and a lot of people still find it very useful. But it is not the main product we sell. So I have that to fall on back on, but it doesn't happen often because people can see the benefit in what we do, you know.
Yeah.
So although it's sometimes quite an outlay, the reason they have come to us because they are in specific need of something.
Yeah.
That's how I get my leads. I don't, you know, someone who wants an out-of-the-box system you can get from PC World, they're never going to work with me.
No.
Because, you know, I couldn't justify selling him at 20 times the price.
No, exactly. They're not your client. So
And I'm a bad salesman like that. I walk away from that.
Yeah. No, that's good. You don't sell to people.
Never, because you know what? The people in my office would wait for it nice for me when I get back there. If I give them business that I've said something or done something to promise and they get the fallback of that, I couldn't deal with that.
No.
It's just we don't have time to deal with that kind of thing. So you do the right thing from the start.
Absolutely.
I've walked away from several businesses.
Yeah.
That I just can't
you have
help.
To say no.
I can't
sometimes
help,
you have
you know?
To. You can't say no to everything.
You
can't say yes to everything either, but you can't say no either. Bruce, thank you so much
for joining us
today and sharing with us. It's great to learn and understand more. And I'd say it's just perfect. It's just an indication of how technology can help businesses run more effectively and efficiently, which is the whole premise of the Tech Expo. It's like I planned it.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I can't wait.
So if people want to find out more and get hold of you, what's the best way of them to find you?
People can find us on all the social media channels. I'm on LinkedIn as Operational Accounting Systems. We're on Twitter as @O_A_SYS. And then our website is o-a-sys.co.uk. And our website is fully up to date with everything we do and the events we're going to, including the Tech Expo, the Easy Stock launch we're having. Yeah. I've got a Link event coming up, LinkedIn Live, and I'm going to the Construction Expo. So there are loads happening on the website. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, yes, people can find us there.
Perfect. Brilliant. And
thank you.
There's lots of opportunities to meet Bruce and his team at Tech Expo and some of the other events.
Yes.
So fabulous.
Oh,
it's brilliant. It's technology just like... blows my mind. I bet most people say most at least once a day, I hate technology. When the emails aren't working or the computer won't start. But in general, it does make our life easier. I've got a couple of events I just want to quickly go over. So coming up on the 10th of October, at the Canterbury Cricket Ground. It's at the Kent County Cricket Ground in Canterbury. Canterbury Cricket Ground. Blah, try saying that. Canterbury Cricket Ground. Blah. Anyway, it's the King Summit 2019. It's a business scale-up conference. So if you're in business and you're looking to build, grow your business and you want to scale up but not quite sure how to do it, this is the event for you. It's a great scale-up. It's hosted by Simon Teague, who is the co-founder of the King Summit and co-director of New Level Results. And he works a lot with businesses, helping them to scale up. He is the host and the one of the keynote speakers for the day. We have somebody called Gemma Fairclough-Haynes is speaking
I've
there.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, apparently she's quite good, you know, knows what she's talking about. Gemma is going to be speaking. We have the wonderful Julia Bernard-Thompson, who is going to be speaking there. Stuart Goodwood, Jim King James, who is the founder, hence the name of the King Summit, and Ruth Whitaker. There's lots going on. So there's lots of trainings, little workshops. There's a mini TV interview type thing being hosted by Paul Andrews to talk with entrepreneurs who have scaled up and how it's helped their businesses. So if you're interested in learning more about scale up, it's on 10th of October, King Summit. If you go to the kingsummit.com and all the details are on there. And Gemma, let's tell us about your event before we quickly go off
air. So the 18th of September, which literally is like less than 2 weeks away, we're having a lunch and learn. It's going to be about employment law. I'm coupling with HawkSafe, our business friends, who are going to be speaking about health and safety. It's only £30 or £32, including booking fee. It's at the K Sports in Aylesford between 12 and 2, and tickets are available on Eventbrite or email me at info@orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk.
Fantastic. And that's it. We're done. We've run out of time. It has come to the end of another fabulous show. So we will be back next week. I have another great guest, Pam Obasa, who is actually one of our panel members, expert in tech. My co-host is, I can't remember. Really prepped for this today.
I think it might be Richard.
I think it might be Julie, actually. But anyway, there'll be somebody here with me. We're going to have another show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Get wrapped up for the warmth and everything. And we'll see you soon. Bye.